This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
As a small business owner, you need protection for your physical and financial assets. From general and professional liability insurance to business owners and commercial auto policies, GEICO can help. Go to geicocommercial.com for your free quote and see how much you could save today.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News, This Morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
What will Britain do? Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Koschenka, on this Monday, July 22nd. Glad you're with us, and here's what we have for you this hour.
British authorities are meeting to consider how to respond to a crisis in the Persian Gulf, where the Iranian military seized one of its tankers.
Iran says it has arrested more than a dozen Iranian nationals who are allegedly CIA spies, and some have been sentenced to death.
Puerto Rico's governor, in the wake of calls for him to resign, says he won't seek re-election next year.
And on a lighter note, how the detergent maker Tide wants to do your laundry for you.
They want to do your laundry for you in various ways. They are franchising Tide-branded dry cleaners in 19 states. They've done a university delivery service for college students called Tide University, and they are installing lockers in luxury apartment buildings.
Janelle Nanos at the Boston Globe checked out the new Tide service. She's here in about 20 minutes. Cracks may be appearing in the political foundation of Puerto Rico Governor Ricardo Rosselló. Under heavy pressure to resign, he yesterday announced that he would remain in office but would not seek re-election next year. In a video message last night, Mr. Rosselló, in Spanish, said a significant sector of the population has been demonstrating for days. I have heard you and I hear you today. A series of scandals have rocked his administration recently, prompting mass demonstrations in the streets of Old San Juan. Democratic Congresswoman Tulsi Gabbard of Hawaii.
The current governor and his administration here are corrupt at their core.
Mr. Rosselló's former Treasury Secretary accused him of corruption, and two former high-ranking officials were indicted on federal charges. But the final straw appears to have been the hundreds of vulgar text messages between Mr. Rosselló, a Democrat, and his inner circle. Some of the messages are anti-gay and mock the number of deaths caused by Hurricane Maria 2 years ago. For an eighth consecutive day, news involving President Trump and rival lawmakers on Capitol Hill has been centered on finger-pointing and accusations. Yesterday, Mr. Trump tweeted from his New Jersey golf club that he doesn't think the four lawmakers known as the Squad are capable of loving our country. They accuse him of being racist. The president's defenders were on the Sunday talk shows, including campaign aide Mercedes Schlapp on ABC's This Week.
You're seeing the Squad dictating the rules of the Democratic Party, which is very clear that they're pushing forward, you know, very disturbing statement.
Maryland Democratic Congressman Elijah Cummings was on the same show.
I've told them they could say the things they say, but they got to say it in a different way. There's a way of saying things. You'll rarely hear me say the word racism.
This began in earnest last Sunday when Mr. Trump said the four women should return to the, quote, totally broken and crime-infested places from which they came. As members of Congress go, the four House freshman Democrats who make up the so-called Squad, Ilhan Omar of Minnesota, Rashida Tlaib of Michigan, Ayanna Pressley of Massachusetts, and Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez of New York, already were celebrities for the impact they made when they arrived in Congress in January. Since then, however, Wall Street Journal congressional reporter Natalie Andrews says they've led a split-screen existence in the Democratic Party inside and outside Congress. Natalie, what are you hearing?
Outside of the halls of the Capitol, they are celebrated and beloved by activists and progressives. They go to these conferences and they're cheered. There's memes, there's inspirational quotes. Inside of the Capitol, you have a different reaction to these freshman lawmakers. You have some who say, hey, maybe you should learn a little bit about how this place works. You have some who feel like they've come and approached things the wrong way. And it's created a little bit of tension.
Is is the traditional approach to Congress. This is going to sound harsh, but come in, sit down, and shut up for a while?
You know, some of the members who have been in Congress for a little while and just fought to win the majority would probably like to tell that to a few freshmen.
Okay. Why is it just the four of them? There are lots of freshman lawmakers, aren't there?
This is totally true. Back in November, when these particular four, they were in a photo shoot in a magazine interview, Miss Ocasio-Cortez took a picture and posted it on Instagram and dubbed it the Squad. And it kind of took off. And also, these four have bonded together and released statements at various times as a foursome. And so that has kind of solidified it beyond that. They released a statement opposing the border supplemental that was in debate in the House in June. And so they have kind of really fallen back on the fact that they stick together.
Yeah. So they generate, obviously, a ton of attention from the media and on social media, where they're very popular. They have no legislative victories under their belt. So how long can this ride last for them?
It's a good question. And it is common for a freshman to not be touting major accomplishments 6 months in. But these women have come in and expressed big ideas. Ilhan Omar wants to cancel student loan debt. Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez has talked about a Green New Deal. Rashida Tlaib has talked about establishing some sort of universal income. She comes from a very low-income district, and so she's often talking about solutions to help people in America who are not making much money. It remains to be seen what their legacy will be. I mean, they've only been in Congress for 6 months, so it's kind of crazy to talk about their legacy, but I think that goes to the impression they've made, that the party really sees them as the future.
Right. Who in the party, I guess, sees them as the future? Because some are concerned ahead of 2020 that they are going to be identified as the new face of the Democratic Party, which some, I know, in the party are not comfortable with.
Yeah, I would definitely say it's the activists. So it's the split-screen thing of they were at the Netroots conference last week, which is a gathering of progressives, and they were cheered and celebrated. Indivisible, which is a group that formed after the 2016 election, has celebrated and elevated these women. So it is one of those things that outside they are cheered. And internally there is this tension of, hey, are these four going to hurt us if we, as like a centrist member who, say, just won a district in Kansas or in the Midwest, those members are a little nervous about being tied to people who are talking about progressive ideas and at times calling themselves democratic socialists and things like that.
I'm speaking with Natalie Andrews, congressional reporter at The Wall Street Journal. She's written a piece entitled "For the Squad, a Split-Screen Existence in and Out of Congress." Are they trying to include others in their four-person group? Do they think that, I don't know, there'd be strength in numbers, for example, if there were more people in the squad?
Ayanna Pressley, who is a congresswoman from Massachusetts, she says that everyone who believes in what they believe in is part of the squad. So she has this unifying message that, like, we're all part of the squad if you believe what we believe, you know, in helping people and embracing that message. So she is trying to really expand the idea. We know that they have tried to also smooth over some of the tension that they may have contributed to causing in the House.
There's Natalie. Natalie Andrews, Wall Street Journal congressional reporter. 15 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business, but you don't have to take our word for it. Take Patty Poppes, president and CEO of Consumers Energy, instead.
All of the innovation that's occurring around robotics, AI, it's happening here in Michigan. We have chemical companies, we have pharmaceutical companies, we have medical device manufacturers. Michigan is a magnet for innovators and dreamers.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.
Supported by Kronos. Kronos knows that hiring and retaining a modern workforce of salaried, hourly, full and part-time workers can be challenging, especially in today's competitive job market. That's why Kronos puts HR, payroll, talent, and time in one place, so HR professionals supporting a blended workforce have all the tools they need to engage and motivate their people every step of the way. Learn more at kronos.com/HRswagger. Kronos, workforce innovation that works.
Thanks for being with us. British leaders are meeting to decide their next moves after the Iranian military boarded and seized a tanker 3 days ago in the Persian Gulf. Prime Minister Theresa May's office said she would chair a meeting of Britain's Emergency Response Committee today to discuss the crisis. Little clue has been given by Britain on how it plans to respond after Iranian Revolutionary Guards rappelled from helicopters and seized the Stena Impero in the Strait of Hormuz on Friday, in apparent retaliation for the British capture of an Iranian tanker 2 weeks earlier. U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo weighed in.
The Iranian regime has to make a decision that it wants to behave like a normal nation. And if they do that, we're prepared to negotiate across a broad spectrum of issues.
Footage obtained by Reuters yesterday showed the tanker docked in an Iranian port with Iran's flag now hoisted atop. The 23 crew members are mainly from India and include no British citizens. That may be a reason there have been no calls from London for more drastic action. 21 minutes after the hour on this morning, Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
Puerto Rico is bracing for what many people expect to be one of the biggest protests ever seen in the U.S. territory as irate islanders pledge to drive Governor Ricardo Rossello from office. Hundreds of thousands of people are expected to take over one of the island's busiest highways this morning to press demands for the resignation of Rossello over an obscenity-laced leaked online chat the governor had with allies, as well as federal corruption charges leveled against his administration. This man is among the protesters.
He has lost the trust of Puerto Rico, and he has to resign. There's no option, and this is democracy. If he stays, it's going to be a dictatorship.
The anticipated march in the capital of San Juan comes a day after Rossello announced he would not seek re-election but would not quit. A dangerous heat wave that seared the central U.S. to the East Coast over the weekend is about to come to an end after being linked to at least six deaths and causing roads to buckle and forcing events to be canceled. The National Weather Service says the oppressive and dangerous heat wave will finally break as a cold front passes through the region today and tomorrow, bringing the threat of flash flooding and damaging winds. Power outages hit parts of Wisconsin, Michigan, Maryland, Virginia, and New York, where this man was hoping for some relief.
I'm praying that it will come, the light will come back. Let's see what's going to happen.
Excessive heat warnings and heat advisories stretch from Raleigh to Boston and from Kansas eastward to Indiana. Iranian authorities claim security agencies had arrested 17 suspects and sentenced some of them to death after dismantling a CIA spy ring in a case announced last month. The announcement comes as Iran-U.S. tensions ramp up after the U.S. withdrew unilaterally from a landmark 2015 nuclear deal and reimposed economic sanctions on the Islamic Republic. And at the box office this weekend.
Everything you see exists together in a delicate balance. While others search for what they can take, a true king searches for what he can give.
The live-action remake of the animated Disney classic The Lion King took in a whopping $185 million in its first weekend in theaters. Most industry insiders expected an opening of about $150 million. Despite getting mixed reviews, enough moviegoers were drawn to hear the A-list cast reprise the original, including Beyonce and Donald Glover, to put it solidly at the top of the weekend list.
Well, of course, it dominated the box office. 185 mil.
I think the weather had something to do with driving people inside.
Excellent point. Yeah. Excellent point. Thanks, Jen. 23 minutes after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for being with us. Tide, the laundry detergent brand with the signature orange packaging, is attempting to think outside the bottle. The company now wants to do your laundry for you. Tide's been exploring out-of-home options under the Tide Cleaners name. Janelle Nanos, reporter at the Boston Globe, gave the service a try at a private locker. Janelle, first off, what's this about?
Well, Tide is not content to stay in your laundry room anymore, is the short version. Tide has been making investments in out-of-home cleaning services, and that means essentially they want to do your laundry for you in various ways. They are franchising Tide-branded dry cleaners in 19 states. They've done a university delivery service for college students called Tide University, and they are installing lockers in luxury apartment buildings. The lockers allow people to drop off their dry cleaning and laundry at any point in the day, and Tide comes and picks it up, and in about 48 hours, you get your dry cleaning back. And so I tried it and basically lugged a bag of my dirty laundry 10 miles so I could shove it in a locker and see how it worked.
How is that different from dry cleaning and just dropping stuff off there to get laundered?
Well, because the lockers are in convenient places. So in this case, right now, they're in luxury apartment buildings. So they're literally in the same mailroom as where you go to pick up your mail. So instead of having to, you know, lug your stuff to a dry cleaner and then lug it back, it's just literally stepping in your elevator and bringing it upstairs. So it's much easier in that regard.
Wow. We're speaking with Janelle Nanos, business reporter at the Boston Globe. She covers retail and consumer culture. She's written a piece entitled Tide Wants to Do Your Laundry For You. Is it expensive to have it done this way?
It's certainly, they try and say that they're about market rate. I paid about $2.50 for a men's shirt and about $6 for a woman's blouse and $14 for a dress. So, you know, I wouldn't say it's much more expensive than other dry cleaners. I think what you're getting is just the convenience, though, too, of not having to, like I said, drag your stuff all over the place or remember to go before the dry cleaner, you know, closes for the evening. So the fact is these lockers are 24/7, which means you could pick it up on your own time.
Jeez. Is this geared toward the city living customer?
Definitely. And their plans are to expand not just into apartment, you know, beyond apartment buildings, but really look at retail locations, kind of similar to where you'll now find Amazon lockers. So, you know, office buildings, convenience stores, drug stores, places like that. They really kind of want to be where people need them and where people are frankly already going. They want to be in that path of people's daily habits. It'll be really interesting to see how fast and how far it expands.
Thanks, Janelle. Janelle Nanos, reporter at the Boston Globe. 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Every minute you spend updating your company's employee data and systems is a minute you don't spend on your core job. Thankfully, now there's Rippling. It's the first platform that combines all your HR and IT systems together. And when you combine HR and IT, magic happens. Imagine if you could hire someone and take care of all their HR needs, including payroll, health insurance, and 401k, all in as little as 90 seconds. Same goes for your IT. You can order their computer and create their accounts in all the apps you use, like Gmail, GitHub, and Slack, all in one unified onboarding flow. That's how easy Rippling makes running your business. It's also why Rippling won PC Mag's Editor's Choice Award and is the top-rated HR and IT software on G2 Crowd. Stop burning valuable time on admin work. Use Rippling, and your HR and IT will run like a well-oiled machine. If you're looking for an easier way to supercharge your employees, go to rippling.com/morning and get 20% off. That's rippling.com/morning for 20% off.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show, like us on Facebook, or send us an email, thismorning@compassmedianetworks.com.
Thanks for being with us. Welcome into Monday, July 22. Gordon Deal, Jennifer Koshenka, some of our top stories and headlines. Puerto Rico's embattled governor says he won't seek re-election but will remain in office despite calls for his resignation. Britain weighs a response to Iran seizing one of its tankers. Iran says it's arrested 17 Iranian nationals who spy for the CIA. Relief from intense heat expected today in the Northeast. The body of late Supreme Court Justice John Paul Stevens lies in repose today. Shane Lowry won the British Open by 6 strokes. And how far 3 teenagers pushed a woman's dead car to its destination. That story in about 20 minutes. The complications of campaigning nationally while being a mayor may be one reason why only 3 politicians who served as the chief of a city have ever become president, and nobody has ever gone directly from one office to the other. What's this mean for the 2 mayors who are part of the group of candidates running for the Democratic presidential nomination? We're joined now by John McCormick, national politics reporter at the Wall Street Journal, who's taken a look at history. John, what have you found?
You see a lot more members of Congress and governors go on to become presidents than you do mayors. There have only been 3 presidents in U.S. history who were, at one point, they were mayors in their careers earlier on, and nobody has been elected directly from a city hall to the presidency ever.
So fast forward to this current batch. You referenced New York's Bill de Blasio, Pete Buttigieg from South Bend, Indiana. But are there local issues at home that, I don't know, for lack of a better phrase, keep these guys from advancing?
Yeah, well, they both have had to deal with a couple of pretty high-profile crises already as part of their presidential campaigns. Buttigieg was first in mid-June. He had a police-involved shooting in his community. I think he was a 54-year-old black man was shot by a white police officer, and it sort of inflamed the whole racial tension in that community, and he's had to deal with that sort of as an ongoing crisis. He's already struggling to win support among black voters. This was sort of another problem in his presidential campaign. And then Mayor de Blasio, about a week ago, had this massive power outage in Manhattan, and he was in Waterloo, Iowa at the time over a weekend doing some presidential campaigning. And both those episodes sort of remind us that mayors have more sort of hands-on day-to-day responsibilities than even governors and members of Congress. You know, if you're running for president as a member of Congress, you may miss some floor votes, you may miss some committee hearings, but if you're in Iowa for a weekend, most of the time there's not going to be a crisis that pops up that's really going to demand that you be in Washington. But for mayors, they're really viewed as sort of the frontline people in a lot of these situations. And when they're out of town, it can be very noticeable if it happens at the wrong time.
We're speaking with John McCormick, national political reporter at The Wall Street Journal, about his story entitled Crises Back Home Can Hurt Mayor's White House Hopes. Who else has tried and failed in recent memory?
Well, and even in this current crop, besides the two active mayors that we have, there's also several former mayors. So Colorado Governor John Hickenlooper, he was once Denver's mayor. He's trying to move on to the presidency. Bernie Sanders was the mayor of Burlington once upon a time. Cory Booker, of course, from New Jersey, was the mayor of Newark. And former Housing and Urban Development Secretary Julian Castro was once the mayor of San Antonio. So that's just in this current, massive Democratic field of about two dozen candidates. But in previous attempts, there was Rudy Giuliani, who unsuccessfully tried for the presidency. Hubert Humphrey was once upon a time the mayor of Minneapolis and a vice president, of course. He was unsuccessful in trying to win the presidency. And Dennis Kucinich, mayor of Cleveland, also tried for the White House unsuccessfully. So, yeah, if you're a mayor and you're trying to get to the White House, the history is not on your side. Let's just say that.
Yep. Interestingly enough, though, Pete Buttigieg has done well on the fundraising front, if not necessarily in the polling.
Yeah, he's done absolutely very well on the fundraising front and, is very popular with affluent, primarily white donors. And they have really bankrolled him, so he's in a position where he's going to be around probably for quite a while. We'll see how ultimately he does in some of these early voting states like Iowa and New Hampshire and South Carolina, where especially in South Carolina, where he seems to have some challenges because so much of the vote there is African American, and his polling support among blacks right now is almost zero.
Given the history that you've painted with mayors unsuccessfully campaigning for the White House, is it more or less likely that you could perhaps change the course of history today?
It probably, I'm not a urbanologist or anything like that, but there probably are some demographic trends going on in the country that maybe make it easier for mayors to go to the presidency. Cities were sometimes sort of viewed as these places that were where all the problems were, and there wasn't necessarily success. But some cities have really turned it around in the last decade or so and are doing quite well.
Thanks, John. It's John McCormick, national politics reporter at the Wall Street Journal. 20 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. Welcome into Monday. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, by now, we're all familiar with the phrase, happy wife, happy life. But it should be noted that you typically have to make it through the wedding for that rule to take effect. That was apparently lost on a bride-to-be who is complaining that her future husband won't get a second job to pay for her pricey dream wedding. The post, which appears on Reddit's Bridezilla forum, shows the woman reaching out on social media asking for help as she can't stop fighting with her fiancé over this issue. The bride was complaining that she quit her job to plan their wedding full-time, and her fiancé had the audacity to refuse to take a second job to pay for their wedding, the cost of which she says have ballooned to $80,000. Not surprisingly, users didn't seem to agree with the woman's argument, and many agreed that her behavior was a warning sign. One user put it very succinctly, writing, "Run, man!" Others felt that getting a second job wouldn't help smooth things over much, figuring that if the fiancé did agree to work more, he would get complaints about how he's never around to help with the planning.
She quit her job to plan for the wedding full-time.
Yeah, she couldn't possibly work and plan a wedding at the same time.
Wow.
So, obviously, he has to get a second job to pay for this $80,000 wedding.
Can you say high maintenance?
Yes.
Oh, my goodness.
Run man, for sure, was an easy way to put it.
Great advice. Yep. You know, what would have been fascinating also is to hear the people who supported this woman and said, "You're absolutely right. He should get a second job and you should not be working."
Yeah,
that would have been, because those women also, their names could have been posted to some board.
Right.
Also, like, who to avoid in your dating life.
Right, right, right. Who not to propose to this year. And how hot was it across the country this past week? Well, you could do your baking in the car if you so desired. That was the conclusion of the National Weather Service staff in Omaha, Nebraska, who embarked on the experiment. The Omaha Bureau tweeted live updates showing a pan with raw biscuits on the dashboard of a car. After about 45 minutes, the biscuits began to rise, and after an hour, the pan temperature reached 175 degrees, eventually reaching a high of 185. The car occasionally had to be moved to keep the sun shining on the dough. The biscuits began to brown on the outside and eventually seemed done enough to try eating after a total of 8 hours in the car. The workers said they were pretty doughy in the middle, but crispy enough on the outside to be edible.
Man.
I mean, I'd certainly believe it. I wouldn't even had to put them in the car, especially here in New Jersey.
Yeah, yeah.
Just lay them outside on the sidewalk. Yeah. I think they would have baked enough.
I think our real feel, you know, or whatever they call it, is was 110 at one point yesterday.
Yeah.
So guess who the idiot was in my house who decided, hey, grilling is a good idea? Right here.
Well, you don't want to heat up the house. You don't want to heat up the oven in the house, right?
Not true.
So figure I'll take the heat outside.
Yeah.
But again, you could have just put them right on the grill.
Like, probably
just take
could
the
have.
Meat and just throw it on top of the grill. You would have been fine.
Probably could have. Thank you, Mike. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
You're a small business owner, and there's nothing small about what you do. That's why Dell Small Business Technology Advisors give you trusted advice, one-on-one partnership, and tailored tech solutions, like computers with Intel Core processors, servers, storage, networking, plus thousands of top-brand electronics, accessories, and software. No matter your technology needs, Dell is here to help your small business do big things. Call 877-BUY-DELL to speak with an advisor today. That's 877-BUY-DELL.
In general, I'm a win-win guy. When I have to spend hours searching for the right part, it's lose-lose. It's time lost for me and lost time for my crew. That's why I order from Grainger. With product experts that have the answers to my toughest questions, an easy-to-use website to help me find the right product quickly, I can rely on Grainger to make getting supplies for my business as simple and seamless as possible. When it comes to getting things done, it's a win-win when Grainger's got your back. Call clickgrainger.com or stop by to see for yourself. Grainger. For the ones who get it done.
Reminder, by the way, we can connect on social media. You can friend us on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. You can follow me directly on Twitter as well at Gordon Deal. On this 50th anniversary of the moonwalk, MarketWatch has a look at how we've benefited from the side effects of NASA research. How about this? Pet odor air filters. A 2016 NASA contract sought development of an air filter that could remove toxins like ammonia from spacesuits. An Illinois company took on the project, creating a filter that clearly changed color when it was spent. The filters are now sold directly to consumers looking to avoid the ammonia smell from cat litter boxes. Also, memory foam. By the mid-1960s, NASA was looking for ways to cushion astronauts from the sudden jostles, bumps, and jerks of spaceflight. The end result was a cushy foam material we all now call memory foam, which can be found in everything from pillows to mattresses, bras, car seats, and prosthetic limbs. And thirdly, the Bowflex home gym. Inventor Paul Francis had what he called a Spiraflex with springs, cords, and resistance plates. NASA invested in it to reduce the amount of muscle mass astronauts lose in the weightlessness of space. It's 8 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koschenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, a dangerous and deadly heat wave gripping more than half of the U.S. is finally about to ease up. Tens of millions of people broiled in record-setting high temperatures this weekend, with heat advisories or warnings in effect from the Midwest to the East Coast. The heat wave is being blamed for at least 6 deaths. Storms and blackouts put thousands of people in dark from Wisconsin to Maryland to New York. In Queens, this restaurant owner served free meals when his rib shack lost power.
Total served, we probably served like 2,000 meals today.
Wow.
But I mean, free, maybe close to like 500-600.
Temperatures range from the mid-90s to the triple digits, with the heat index making it feel as hot as 115 degrees. China is harshly criticizing a demonstration in which eggs were thrown at its office in Hong Kong, accusing the demonstrators of violence without mentioning a violent attack against protesters and civilians in the same night. The official newspaper called the protesters' actions intolerable. One group of protesters targeted China's liaison office last night after more than 100,000 people marched through the city to demand democracy and an investigation into the use of force by police to disperse crowds at earlier protests. The top Democrat on the House Judiciary Committee says he believes there is substantial evidence that President Trump committed high crimes and misdemeanors, and he plans to ask former special counsel Robert Mueller to present those facts at a congressional hearing on Wednesday. Committee Chairman Jerry Nadler spoke with Fox.
This is a president who has violated the law 6 ways from Sunday. If anyone else had been accused of what the report finds the president had done, they would have been indicted.
Nadler's comments are significant because evidence of such crimes would be required if Democrats pursue impeachment proceedings against the president. The Baseball Hall of Fame now includes pitchers Mariano Rivera, Mike Mussina, Lee Smith, and the late Roy Halladay, along with designated hitters Edgar Martinez and Harold Baines. The 6 were inducted at Cooperstown yesterday in upstate New York. Naturally, the closer Rivera was last to speak.
The New York Yankees organization, Brian Cashman, everybody else, front office, man, it's a privilege and honor to just be part of one organization.
Rivera, the all-time saves leader, became the first unanimous selection into the Hall.
So impressive.
Pretty good
so
guy.
So impressive.
Pretty good.
Yeah, it seemed like a really good guy also. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. How about this for a workout? 3 Canadian teenagers have become viral heroes after they helped out a woman whose car had broken down. They were out on a late-night Tim Hortons run when they noticed the Chevy Cobalt emitting smoke at a nearby intersection. Fox News says the trio pushed the car off the road after the driver told them she couldn't afford a tow truck and didn't want to wake up her roommate. They decided to push the car to its destination. One of the teens went home to grab some water and music speakers to get the group pumped up before they began to push the vehicle toward the driver's home, which was over 5 miles away. Another bystander drove behind the three, using his headlights to help illuminate the road during the trip. CNN says the group faced plenty of obstacles during the 2-hour journey, including a 900-foot-high hill at the start of the push and a dead battery halfway through. They had to recharge the battery before they could put the car back in neutral and continue. How about that? 3 teens pushing a car 5 miles. For Jennifer Koschenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.
Michigan is one of the best places in the country to do business. But you don't have to take our word for it. Take Evan Lyles, CEO of Roush Enterprises, instead.
For the people that are involved in product development, there couldn't be more unique and exciting opportunities that are really going to shape the future of the world. It's a really exciting time to be in Michigan.
Big things are happening in business here. Find out why by searching Michigan Pure Opportunity.